This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. Welcome to the press conference today. We are the Democrats from the House and Senate. My name is Jamie Smith. I'm the House Minority Leader. And today, I guess I'd like to say that I most often approach this press conference and I approach all of you and try to look at the positives, but this week I'm going to talk about my disappointment, and I'm going to have to go a little bit negative. Disappointed that some of my fellow legislators just don't trust teachers. I'm disappointed that they don't trust our local communities, our local school boards. I'm disappointed that we hear lots and lots about local control until it's convenient to ignore that local control. Goes far beyond teachers, though. This is a distrust of law enforcement, medical providers, and just professionals in general. Disappointed that House Bill 1108 passed the House. It's a bill that purports to prohibit certain gender identity instruction in public schools, but this is a solution in search of a problem. There are no examples of this being taught and being an issue in South Dakota. All this bill does is say that we don't trust our teachers. All this bill does is say, sends a wrong message to the LGBTQ kids that are here in South Dakota. Bill is just plain wrong. Also disappointed that House Bill 1116 keeps coming back. It's a bill that's supposed to be about physical examinations of students, but it's another solution in search of a problem. It failed in committee, it was brought back. It failed on the House floor, it was brought back. Now it's being brought back again. My hope is we defeat it again today and then it's gone. It's disappointing. You know, I believe we can trust our teachers. We can trust our local communities. We can trust our local school boards. But instead, what we do is we take away the control from our educators, away from our schools, and away from our universities. It's unnecessary. As a former educator, I find it demeaning. We need to do better. You, the people of South Dakota, you sent us to Pierre to solve South Dakota problems, to tackle important issues like nursing home care for the elderly, educational opportunities for our youth, to find affordable health care for all South Dakotans. You know, I'm proud of my caucus and what we're working for to ensure that kids have access to high-quality education. From pre-K college affordability to making sure that kids with autism get access to therapy. My caucus is investing in kids. They're investing in your children, your grandkids, and that's what the focus needs to be on. So hopefully we can turn things around here in the House. We can start working on the issues that matter most to you, the South Dakotans. Thank you. Today, I also brought with me Representative Erin Healy, and she is the whip in the House, and she has some prepared comments.
Thank you. I'm Erin Healy, representative from District 14. And next week, I am going to be in front of the House State Affairs Committee at 7:45 on Wednesday morning, talking about preschool education and what we can do for our kids in South Dakota. House Bill 1175 is a bill that would establish an early learning advisory council. And what this council would do is really take a deep dive into our state and its needs for pre-K education and assess data surrounding that information and just identify the opportunities and the barriers that we see and how we can really provide preschool education for all kids in our state. South Dakota has missed a lot of opportunities in the realm of early education because we don't have an early learning advisory council. And we've also declined opportunities for early childhood because we don't have that council that would allow us to apply for federal grant money. And there are a lot of benefits for early childhood education, better cognitive and character skills, school readiness, a narrowed education gap, less money spent on remediation and special ed programs. And then there are also later benefits in life, and those would be higher level of employability, greater earning potential, raised accountability. You'll be less likely to be incarcerated when you're older, lower teenage pregnancy rates, and better health practices. This is something that we must focus on in our state. We haven't done enough in the state of South Dakota to make sure that all children have access to pre-K. Thank you.
So a happy Sweethearts Day to all of you sweethearts out there. I'm Senator Troy Heinert from District 26 in Mission. The Senate, we've been busy debating bills on the floor. Yesterday we had the removing the death penalty for people with severe mental illness. Sadly, that bill went down. You know, this bill wasn't about removing the death penalty. This was about making sure that the state is not sanctioning putting to death someone convicted of a very violent crime, but who has been severely mentally ill. And I think if since this bill, you know, did go down, maybe we need to talk more about what we do for counseling services and mental health services in our state, and start younger and provide, identify people with severe mental illness and get them the help that they need so that they don't commit violent crimes. You know, sometimes they're just bad people in the world. We understand that. But some things, when a person is suffering from a severe mental illness and we don't help them, then we're partly to blame. So hopefully we can work on that and fix that. We've gotten quite a few good bills off of the floor. Senate Bill 126 passed unanimously, 34-0. We had one member out with sickness. And, you know, last Friday we talked about the committee hearing, and I don't usually get nervous when my bills are up, but I was nervous that day. And to see the level of support and the commitment that those people, you know, came up and to testify for, it was amazing. And the chairman of the committee, of State Affairs Committee, did an outstanding job just letting people talk. And I go back to the very first testifier spoke in. She's a Dakota woman. And she spoke in Dakota for about 7 minutes. And you could see the entire committee not understanding a single thing she was saying. And she stopped and she said, I was 6 years old when I went to school and I didn't speak a word of English. And now you know how I felt. It's pretty powerful. So we'll see. Hopefully we can get it through the House. I'm excited. I'm excited for the people of this state to be the first to pass Indigenous language legislation. With that, I'll take any questions.
I'd like to make one more comment along Indigenous peoples. We had a very, very, very long State Affairs committee meeting yesterday. I think we were in committee over 6 hours yesterday in State Affairs. The whole second half of our meeting, it started late yesterday, and there were Native peoples from across our state here until about 8:30 at night testifying on some bills. And good bills made it through the Senate. We have about the same bills that made it through the House for missing and murdered Indigenous women. And just so that's a very positive step that we can make, is recognizing missing and murdered Indigenous peoples. And that did come out of our committee 100%. And I know it made it through the Senate, a very similar bill. So we're going to work on putting those bills together. But that is along those same lines. It's a positive move.
Good morning. Late last night, the Joint Subcommittee released their revenue projections, and the appropriations this morning adopted. $1.645 million in 2019, $1.7 million in 2020. I'm just wondering what your caucus sees. Are you in agreement with those numbers? And looking at the budget now that we actually have a number moving forward, how that jives with the governor's estimates?
I haven't seen those yet. I had a committee this morning, so we have our appropriator in the room. I'm sure he'll be briefing us soon as he goes through those numbers. I just haven't seen them yet.
The same would be in the House. Again, I was in committee starting at 7:45 this morning, too, so I have not had a chance to go over any of that, but we will all be getting together, and we will let you know that next week.
Can you talk a little bit about the Missing and Murdered Indigenous People bill passing last night, and the fact that it also passed in the Senate in the same week unanimously, and kind of the strategy behind getting, you know, this bill passed going forward, even, and combining that language?
The two bills actually were brought by I think both people that brought the bills thought it was a very important issue to bring forward, and they both had been working on these bills and had dropped them and then found out kind of about that. And so that being said, we're talking already with leadership what's the best way to get those bills merged together, so we're kind of dealing with one product. I think there's an overwhelming support for that issue, bipartisan support. And we just want to make sure the best bills, the final product is the best it can be. It also doesn't hurt to come through two sides because it raises that awareness. More people are talking about it. People that testified were very powerful yesterday. I think you were there. It was powerful.
I would just add, this has really been a movement, not only in the United States, but in Canada as well. And, we're finding, Indigenous women, crimes against Indigenous women are oftentimes unreported. Investigations haven't been as forthcoming or as quick as those families would like. And we have to look at the reality of what's coming in to South Dakota. A lot of these are located next to man camps and other issues, projects that are going to be possibly happening here in South Dakota, and we need to be made aware that this is a problem.
I think a similar issue that I believe the prime sponsors are both Democrats is the nursing home funding bill, and I think similarly passed through a House and Senate committee, and then placed into appropriations. Can you talk a little bit about the message that those two bills being dropped in appropriations, what that kind of sends, and maybe just again the strategy kind of behind that, and. How Democrats are working on getting some of these legislations passed?
I would say we're talking about it right now. That shows that they're important issues. You're asking questions about it. I appreciate that. These are issues, and when we drop them on both sides, we're saying this is an issue we need to talk about. And notice who's bringing those, please. They're the serious issues of the state, and I'm not doubting the Republicans know that they're serious issues and they want to solve them too, but we're dropping the bills to try to get that discussion had, because like I told you earlier, we're tired of dealing with spending so much time on some of these issues when there's these really big problems that are looming right there, and we can do something about those. It's all about our priorities. It's all about where we focus our energy, and we can do something about them. And I think there's going to be something done. I don't know how much, but because of we've reached that crisis point, unfortunately. We've been talking about this for years, though. All right, this isn't something that we just started bringing up. Steve McCleary's been talking about this for years. All right, and we've reached that point that we have to do something about it, and we will.
Well, I think, Democrats, we've been trying to find long-term fixes for these issues. Providers, You know, we've been every year we've been bringing bills, increasing provider rates, and it finally caught up with us. But we have to find long-term solutions to provider rates and for nursing homes and for education. One-time money is not going to fix the crisis nursing homes are in. And we look forward. We know we have to bring bipartisan legislation. We can't do it by ourselves. So we're trying to find those allies and really look at these issues and get things passed. You know, we're here for 40 days, and that's our one shot. And we're working hard to find those long-term solutions.
You both mentioned timelines. You have 4 working days to get bills out of committee, 8 working days to crossover day. Any concerns about the amount of work still pending, and is there a potential that you'll see some bills die on crossover?
The Senate, our committees, we've been clearing our calendars for the most part. Next week it'll be crunch time. You know, we know that. And we've been clearing our calendar on the floor as well. So I think the House might have a little bigger issue with the timelines. We probably won't see many House members at socials next week. Like Representative Smith said, they're spending a lot of times on bills that have already been killed, and they're brought back again. We're going to debate a bill in the Senate that we've already killed once, and now they've sent it through the House. So, there is a lot of time spent on issues like that, and the number of, I guess what I'm most worried about in the Senate is the number of vehicle bills that are still alive. And we don't have the language, and now we don't have the time. We don't have the time to introduce the language of the bill and then have an intervening day so that the public knows what the bill is trying to do. So that's a concern of mine.
Today in Health and Human Services, there were 2 vehicle bills up. And one of those vehicle bills did get some language dropped into it. I don't remember which one, but it did get some language dropped into it, and it's going to be coming now on the schedule next week. The other one did go away. It was tabled, and so they're getting sorted out. But to your point, the workload ahead of the next week and the pile, I'm on state affairs, and the number of bills that we have yet to see, I don't know the number, but I know that I'm not going to be doing anything else, really. I mean, I was here till 8:30 last night, and I anticipate that there will be double sessions all next week. I have a feeling. And that's okay. I mean, that's our job. That's what we're here to do. But it's going to make it more fun in the Senate once we drop all those crossover, huh? So if they pass.
And also to speak to Representative Smith's point earlier when he mentioned that we're just talking about a lot of bills that are unnecessary. We also had that immigration bill drop yesterday, which was killed in committee, brought back, and it's on the floor without recommendation, and we voted on it, we killed it, and now it's coming back again today. So we are spending our time, as Representative Smith said, on these issues that keep coming back when we've clearly proved our point that it is unnecessary to continue trying to pass these bills. We spend so much time on the House floor discussing unnecessary legislation, and it is time that we stop deferring important bills to the people of South Dakota to the next calendar day a few times and actually address them.
Senator Heinert, can you talk about Senator Foster's utility certification permit bill? It's up at 10. Whether that would affect Keystone XL and kind of the thought behind it?
Well, Senator Foster can speak to it better than I. But as I understand it, it would potentially affect Keystone. You know, that's an important issue in our community, and it should be an important issue in this state. You know, we don't know what it looks like. We understand that there have been some meetings going on with TransCanada right now, but we haven't heard anything. We don't know what those meetings are talking about. I'm worried for our state if this is to come through. Because I know the level of commitment that the people have that are opposing it. And I understand this is a multi-billion-dollar corporation. There's going to be some conflict. I'd say maybe talk to Senator Foster. She would know it better.
Representative Healy, could you talk a little bit more about the Early Learning Advisory Council and, again, maybe the need for pre-K? And this is something that Democrats, to my knowledge, have been talking about for several years. I guess what would that committee exactly do? You mentioned, like, looking at grants and stuff like that, but would this, I guess, essentially be something that would establish pre-K in the state, something that people would be looking at? Is that what that council would look at doing?
Sure. So what the Early Learning Advisory Council would do was collect statewide information. They would use this data to research the economic impact of early childhood education. It would also conduct a statewide needs assessment to see where our needs are actually necessary. We have a lot of organizations within our state and our communities who are working on this through organizations like Sioux and Pride United Way, and they're trying to band-aid the problem using these types of programs, but they're also doubling up on efforts. So if we can pool all our resources together in one council and take and actually figure out where these pockets of of places where there aren't preschool available for children, or even where there are areas where there is preschool available to children, but we just can't get our high-risk youth, low-income families into the program, then we'd really be able to figure out exactly what type of programs can go where. And this would not require all South Dakota children to attend preschool. I'm not asking for a mandate. I don't think that's necessary in our state. I'm just asking that we provide a council. We are one in two states that doesn't have one in the nation, so we can actually figure out a solution to the problem we see here in our state, which is not having enough pre-K, especially for those low-income families. One more thing I'll add is South Dakota doesn't have an organized group. Aside from the council, our government, we have the Department of Education, the Department of Social Services, and the Department of Health all trying to solve this problem. And if we can just get them all in one room, it would be really beneficial.
What's the other state that doesn't have a council?
That is a good question. I think it's Wyoming. I can double check on that and get back to you on that.
Thank you.
I would throw out there, you know, I was really pleased with the House passing the hemp bill by such a wide margin. You know, I look forward to that bill coming to the Senate. We've had legislation like that, you know, I think about every year since I've been up here. I know I was a prime sponsor 1 year. We didn't even get close. But, you know, a lot of the senators that I've served with have always said when it's legal federally, they'll support it, and they've been sticking to their word. So I'm excited to hear that debate on the floor in committee and hopefully get it to the floor and pass that legislation. I think it's a good move for our state.
Thank you.
Enjoy your day.
Thank you.